Hello everyone and welcome to Orbital, the Gadgets 360 podcast. In today's episode, we are going to be talking about CES 2019, which is Consumer Electronics Show 2019. It's held in Las Vegas every year and it's supposed to be the biggest expo for tech journalists and other tech companies as well in the world. So while CES in terms of, I think, show floor area is probably the largest expo out there, it may not actually be the biggest in terms of news value, simply because many of the biggest companies of the world have over the past few years opted to make announcements at their own events in other places at other times. So many years ago, I think Apple stopped attending CES. Similarly, a bunch of other big companies have also stopped showing up at this expo. So because of that, CES's importance has dwindled a little, but that doesn't mean that there are no important announcements there. A lot of companies announce a lot of cool things over here. Whether that sees the light of the day in the same year or not is a different matter altogether. But still, from a tech standpoint, there is a lot to cover. There's literally a lot to cover. Every year, the people who go there, they are both awed by the amount of gadgets that are there, and at the same time intimidated by the amount of stuff to write about. So this year, the unenviable task of covering the whole of CES for Gadgets 360 lies with two people from our team. One of them is our reviews editor, Jamshed Dabari.
Hey.
And the second one is a deputy reviews editor, Royden Sarej.
What's up?
And I'm your host, Pranay Parab. So, both of you looking forward to CES 2019?
I am. I'm not looking forward to the cold and the rain, though.
Yeah, it's kind of a miserable time of year.
Yeah.
And you have to walk a lot carrying really heavy equipment and jackets. And then it's boiling hot inside the venues and miserably cold outside. And the whole place is overrun.
All right. On that rather enthusiastic note, let's get to the announcements that we are expecting to see at CES. Now, since none of us actually have much info on what is going to be announced, we are going by rumors that have been reported on Gadgets 360 and on other news websites across the world. So we'll be starting with the new phones that we expect to see at CES.
Yeah.
Now, CES is not exactly the hub of smartphone launches.
Yeah, exactly.
MWC, Mobile World Congress, which happens in Barcelona in the last week of February every year, that is the place where you see more smartphone-related announcements. But this year, we expect to see some announcements, such as some from Sony. Royden?
Yeah. Last CES, Sony announced a couple of phones like the XA3 and XA3 Ultra, I think, mid-range phones, I think, for the US market. And rumors arrived that we might see a refresh of those phones this year, like the XA2 was last year, so we might see the XA3 and the XA3 Ultra this year. But apart from that, not too many launches that we can expect in terms of smartphones, at least. Yeah.
Yeah. So CES is also very US-centric, and it's all about their market, and they have a very different approach to how smartphones are bought and sold. And we also might see more action from US-specific companies or companies that have already launched things in different parts of the world and are now bringing them to the US for the first time. And we might see some of the carriers over there with their own exhibits. And 5G will certainly be a topic. There'll be a lot of behind-the-scenes discussions and a lot of people who are just, you know, in the same place at the same time. So there'll be a lot being discussed, but I don't expect to see any major product launch announcements.
Yeah, exactly. So since you brought up 5G and you said that, you know, it is a very US-centric event, can we maybe see some 5G-related announcements there, perhaps 5G phones or more 5G modems or whatever?
We might see a lot of the companies talking about their strategy. We, like I said, the carriers might be involved at that level. Even the current rollouts that we have in the US and some parts of the world are mostly data centric. So we don't have smartphones yet, but we have data modems. So basically, you receive 5G signals and it broadcasts that as Wi-Fi for you to use. So it's basically just replacing the last mile to your premises, but it is still a fixed equipment.
Yeah, so I think, like Jamshed said, because we already have now proper, hardware in place as well. Like, you know, Qualcomm announced their 5G modems and stuff at their summit in November. Or was it December?
December.
And I'm pretty sure, I think, Intel and a bunch of other big companies would also jump on board around CES. So we might see actual live demos of 5G in action. Like, it could be not necessarily only with smartphones, but also IoT devices and how they communicate with a lot of different things. A lot more practical demos we could see this time.
And a lot of backhaul equipment for the operators.
Yeah, so I do expect some kind of demo area somewhere where one of these telecom companies will show a demo of 5G speeds and meaningless speed test results, etc.
Yeah.
But beyond that, I'm not exactly sure what you know, in terms of 5G will be shown, that will be very relevant to people, especially outside of the US.
So the companies that will be there are Samsung, LG, Lenovo, and thereby Moto. They will certainly have something on display, whether they're brand new, whether there's something US specific, whether there are any announcements. We tend to see a couple of these little gems sometimes scattered through the show, but we might not know about it till we get there.
Yeah. So, yeah. You know, when we cover CES, there's always a question of, in spite of walking 10 kilometers, I only saw 5 interesting things happening over there. So usually one good way to look at it is in case, you know, even you're struggling to find good products at CES or something interesting, or you don't have much time, you can maybe go to the CES website on the day of the event. They always have that CES Innovation Awards Showcase. So CES, the organizers themselves, they give awards to like the most innovative products. So that's a good way to narrow it down. That is what we also go by, and we check out some of the coolest products that way.
Because otherwise it's humanly impossible to cover everything.
So what we're dealing with over there is, first of all, very limited time. There's so much to see. There are 3 separate exhibit areas, and then companies having their own private shows in hotel rooms and suites, and renting out entire restaurants and clubs. Getting around becomes difficult. So there is a lot to see. There is a lot if you have that luxury, but we usually have a sort of fixed itinerary, so we have to be at certain places at certain times. So yeah, we'll bring you all of those things. We can't really talk about every single appointment and company yet, but we will be bringing you quite a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I think gadgets.ntv.com/CES is the place to be. But in the meantime, what we can do is we can speak about some of the other announcements that we expect at CES. Now, I've been hearing about foldable phones like literally every year since maybe 2013, 2014. Mm-hmm. Somebody or the other is going to launch it. Samsung has, I think, made that announcement at least 4 or 5 times where we are close to launching a foldable phone or something.
Yeah, but I think now they're pretty clear that it's coming in 2019.
Yes. Yeah. So could we see a Samsung foldable phone or one from LG, which has been rumored at CES 2019?
So Samsung, LG, Microsoft and Huawei are all rumored to be in this foldable phone race. But it's unlikely that something will be ready as soon as CES. And it's unlikely that they would choose that as a venue, because MWC is a bit more relevant. And they have more people over there who are likely to be important for that sort of a launch. And maybe they might just hold their own event, as you said earlier.
Yeah, so for something as innovative as a foldable phone, I wouldn't expect at least Samsung to sort of show it at CES now that MWC is, you know, almost around the corner.
And let's remember also that CES is consumer electronics. So that runs the gamut from washing machines and dryers to kitchen appliances, to TVs, to audiophile equipment, all that sort of thing. They also don't really want some of their stuff to get lost in the crowd.
Yeah, but LG is not doing that well in the smartphone space. So could they show...
I mean, that the rumors say that they might show. Again, there's no real, you know, proof. We don't have any like anything concrete or anything yet. But even if they do show, like they did last time, I think, was it LG with a rollable TV?
Yeah.
It was just behind the closed door for like certain media. It wasn't like on the show floor. So if they might show it, it might be like a private sort of.
Yeah, basically don't roll the TV too much. It might break.
And has that translated to an actual consumer product yet?
Not yet.
Exactly.
So that happens a lot at CES. You see all these really cool
things.
A lot
of concepts.
Yeah, which probably, you know, don't exactly make it to market. Like I think last year we saw this $1,000 machine, which was basically a specialist machine for folding clothes at $1,000. And it was not even a working prototype. They just had a demo, which looked cool. Yeah, got a lot of views on Instagram, sure.
Yeah, I've seen things like vertical washing machines, like a closet that you just hang your clothes on a hanger and put them inside and then they come out washed. And various extraordinarily specific things like digital corks for your wine bottles that will track the age of each bottle and tell you when to turn them in the rack and all sorts of things.
Yeah, why not turn them yourself or, you know, automatically turn it as well?
Yeah, I mean,
God knows. Anyway, so moving on to the more interesting announcements. Now, there are 3 companies whose announcements I'm really looking forward to. So that makes it NVIDIA, AMD and Intel. So let's maybe start with Intel, since that's the one that looked the most interesting in terms of rumors to me. There was a very strong rumor going around that Intel may launch a discrete GPU of their own. So far only Nvidia and AMD mostly have been in this space for desktop PCs. Intel could enter that, and also a rumor which said that a 10-core CPU could come in from Intel at CES 2019. Jamshed, since you are familiar with this field.
I would say neither of those things is impossible, but they're both quite unlikely. First of all, on the CPU front, Intel has just launched its 8-core Core i9-9900K. There are rumored to be versions of these without graphics, without the integrated graphics that will be launched, but it's unlikely that Intel would make a big splash about that. It could just be products that appear in the catalog at some point. So maybe Intel is once again just trying to one-up AMD. They might make an announcement but not have a product actually ready to ship immediately, which is, you know, par for the course at this point. It would be interesting if they decided to do something like that, but it wouldn't necessarily fit with the strategy that we've been expecting. So if they did that, then that would be a sort of a last-minute adjustment. And as for the discrete graphics card, again, yes, the company has made it clear that it wants to be in this space, that it hired Raja Koduri from AMD and a bunch of other people they've set up. And not just for gaming graphics, but also for AI and deep learning and the sort of stuff that GPUs are optimized for. Again, it would seem premature for them to launch something at this point, but they might make big announcements. They might just have something that, you know, serves as an in-between, as like just a little placeholder before a huge major announcement is ready.
Yeah, so last year the like most surprising announcement for me was the fact that there was a laptop with an Intel CPU and an AMD GPU. So that was an interesting collaboration, but now if they enter the GPU market, they'll be back to competing with these guys again. So I wonder what happens to the future of those laptops.
I mean, well, there's been a very long story with Intel's 10 nanometer efforts being delayed by several years now, and Intel innovating in various ways to try and keep things exciting for the market. So yes, there was the Intel CPU with integrated Radeon Vega graphics, but that hasn't really made it out into the wider market. I don't think even in India we've seen any products launching with that, and the companies haven't been very vocal about it. And then we also saw a very, very limited release of the 10 nanometer Cannon Lake CPU, which did not have integrated graphics at all and relied on a discrete AMD chip. And that was again down to manufacturing difficulties. So it will be interesting to see where these companies now find themselves and what the future of their unlikely alliance will be.
All right. So, Royden, you had some things to say about AMD's rumored announcements, right?
So, another rumor, apart from Intel, I think AMD they have a keynote, first of all, at CES. And at least from whatever is buzzing around the internet, we could see the third generation of Ryzen CPUs announced, at least. And maybe the next generation GPUs, which is, I think, based on the Navi architecture. But again, that's not really...
Yeah.
This is a little less likely to show up, more than the Ryzen
what
CPUs.
We've seen, even if they're not marketed under that name, what we've seen is leaks of a logo that might point to Vega 2
right.
being used as a name. Now, AMD CEO Lisa Su will be doing a keynote at CES for the first time. So obviously there are a lot of big announcements. We can expect major updates, if not actual product announcements, on 7 nanometer server EPYC CPUs and GPUs. But again, the GPUs are more likely to be for the pro market and for things like AI and deep learning rather than gaming. That said, I mean, we'd like nothing better than to see consumer products coming out. And yes, there have been very, very specific leaks about the Ryzen 3000 series. So that's looking more and more likely.
Okay. So
with up to 16 cores.
Another interesting announcement that was supposedly leaked was something around Nvidia. So will we see this RTX cards thing happening at CES? And will we see some of these RTX GPUs making it to laptops at CES? Which is another rumor I saw.
So I think recently we've had leaks about the RTX 2060 being doing the rounds. So I think it's definitely, it's possible. Again, NVIDIA has their keynote as well. So we could definitely see a expansion of the RTX line, at least for desktop. So we could see a 2060, 2050, 2050 Ti to complete the entire RTX lineup. And along with that, I won't be surprised if we also see RTX GPUs for laptops, because it's a high time. I mean, NVIDIA rolled out the updated their 10 series for laptops for the new year, and this would be the perfect time to at least announce, make the announcement. So in the months to come, we could see new products coming with RTX cards in laptops.
Again, typically announcements like this happen much earlier to take advantage of the holiday shopping season around Thanksgiving and Christmas. But this is also a very good time for consumer electronics companies to make their announcements. So yeah, the NVIDIA rumor mill has been churning for the last several weeks. RTX 2060 could be very, very likely to launch. Mobile parts as well. There have been rumors about a refreshed low-end mobile part called the MX250, which would replace the MX150.
Yeah.
And that's likely to find its way into ultra-slim laptops or entry-level, just, you know, one step above integrated graphics.
Yeah.
And there's been another extremely unlikely rumor that NVIDIA will release a line of GTX cards to complement its RTX cards at lower prices without the ray tracing hardware. And I don't know. I mean, this just seems unlikely, but there has been a bit of backlash to the high prices of the RTX cards. So maybe something for the OEM market, something that'll pop up, you know, in very limited runs. In some markets, it's not impossible. It's just extremely unlikely.
Okay, so in, you know, news that probably will not interest anyone, apparently we're going to see some 8K TVs again at CES. So I don't know, like, what's the point of showing out these TVs here, because they are first of all going to be absurdly expensive, and secondly not going to make it to market anytime soon.
I mean, yeah, I think we already saw, like, it's 8K started trickling in during IFA, and I think for 2019, I mean, last year we had a lot of 4K stuff. And 4K HDR was big. So, and we saw some prototypes of 8K at last year's CES. So this year, I would definitely say that we should definitely expect a lot more production-ready 8K TVs from a lot more manufacturers. Because last time, it was quite thin. Like, there was just a handful, maybe Samsung and someone. Yeah. But this year, we could expect a lot more, like Panasonic, TCL, everyone jumping on that 8K bandwagon.
Yeah, so you know what? I'd actually be really happy if 8K TVs become a thing, and because of that,
push 4K, the prices of 4K down.
Yeah, HDR. So 4K, I don't really care that much about. I'd be very happy with a 1080p TV. But if 4K HDR TVs are becoming cheaper, then that is something that really interests me. But beyond that, there's nothing of interest for me, at least, in this 8K TV rumors.
And it remains to be seen what sort of content there will be and whether the distribution companies are on board and what the standards will be and how that plays with various other things. Now, CES has always been hugely focused on TVs. This is where we saw 4K come out. It's where we saw HDR come out. You know, all the companies seem to... 3D TVs were a huge deal one year that I was there. So all companies seem to sort of decide on what they're going to push, and then all of them push that at the same time. We haven't seen a level of hype around 8K like we saw around all those previous things. So while it will be present, I don't think even the companies realistically expect everyone to jump on board. They just want us to know that this is where they're going.
Yeah, so all I'm going to say is that if there are any companies, content companies looking at this and thinking of releasing discs, etc. from Blu-ray or whatever the format they want to use for 8K, just make it region-free.
I don't think we're anywhere near saturation point with 4K anyway. And
I mean, half the content that is available right now in 4K is also not easily available in India. So,
you know,
even in the US, if you're like into 4K, HDR and all of that, it's not exactly easy to find stuff.
I mean, it'll make for a great demo. There's always like 100 or 120 inch TV or something like that that somebody is showing off. That'll look great, but it's not realistically going to be a consumer product.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you want to pay 50 lakhs for a TV, probably a good idea, but otherwise...
One other thing that we might see is laser TVs. Now, there's not a lot of detail about this, but at least one company, Hisense, has put out a teaser. So, let's see what that's all about.
Yeah. And one thing which we saw last year, which I expect to see again this year, is this Alexa versus Google Assistant happening. And this year, maybe, you know, even Samsung's Bixby smart voice assistant will be competing with these two.
Yeah. So, I think smart assistants and voice assistants are going to be, again, one of the big themes at CES, just like last year. So you can expect, and not just for devices like TVs and speakers and stuff. I think we're going to see a lot more companies integrate these assistants into home appliances, because that's the whole attraction of Samsung and LG. Even at last year's CES, was the main focus was on how they are using these assistants in household appliances, like an air conditioner or a fridge. Or, you know, things like that.
And now people are comfortable with these concepts. So I want to see at least the development of much larger ecosystems, like Samsung and LG could do this with their entire range of appliances. And they have promised to do so with their fridges and washing machines and whatnot.
No, they have. I mean, they even demoed a whole bunch of things last year. They have products in the US which have that.
But let's also not forget that for these companies, one of the biggest priorities was rolling out black aluminum rather than any actual feature. Like, that was the level of trend that they were chasing.
So with these things, I mean, I don't actually have that much of an interest in this, because, you know, once again, from an India standpoint, the smart assistant war is still like in the nascent stage, I would say.
But you know, this is one of the product categories that's brand new and has actually caught on in the past few years. So many companies see the potential for sales and growth here. And, you know, whichever one gets integrated into the most products will be the one that's likely to win. So
I completely agree.
Needs to pick a side.
Yeah, with you. But, you know, what I'm saying is, in October, Amazon had a launch event for a bunch of Echo devices in the US. So at that time, the most interesting thing that they showcased was the fact that Alexa can now accept certain smart home commands even without the internet. So, for example, lock the door. That should be happening whether your internet is up or not.
Yeah.
So that is the kind of development I want to see in this space, especially for smart home devices. So basic things, obviously, like, you know, you have to have electricity in your house for these things to work.
Yeah.
So if you take electricity for granted, then internet is something that you shouldn't be taking for granted. So for it to actually flourish in India, I would like to see more offline developments. So whether it's Alexa or Google Assistant or Bixby, as long as you can give these commands offline, just because there's no internet or Wi-Fi connection is weak, it should not stop working.
Right.
So if that kind of a development happens this year, then I'd be super interested, because then that would bring it faster to India. A bunch more people would be convinced to get these things. But otherwise, yeah, not so interested in this particular thing. However, Samsung could launch a new speaker. So the Galaxy Home speaker could show up.
Yeah, they announced that, I think, during the Note 9 launch. And we could finally see like an official announcement during CES. Maybe like even a demo of the speaker. So that'll be interesting. And of course, apart from Alexa and Google Assistant, we should also expect to see a lot of Bixby appliances and devices.
And let's not forget Siri. Like, Apple itself doesn't have a presence, but we'll see a lot of third-party accessories.
Yeah.
And Siri has worked its way into a couple of smart speakers and home streaming devices and things like that.
Yeah, they have that HomeKit, right? Which is what they call smart home API or whatever it is, platform. So then, could we see any smart display type devices such as, you know, the Google Home Hub or something showing up?
Yeah, I think we could definitely see a lot more of that. I mean, last year, I think Lenovo's that smart display.
I forgot the name of that.
Lenovo had a tablet also that docks into a smart speaker and can be used.
Yeah, but this was, I think, and Google for the first time had a presence at CES where they had showcased all of their, it was mainly a showcase of Google Assistant and all the products that are there in it. But Lenovo's smart speaker, I think, was one of the big deals at last year's CES. So
I think we'll see more products like the Home Hub.
We should definitely expect a lot more like that.
So finally, the last product that caught my eye in all these CES rumors and leaks was Razer's keyboard and mouse for the Xbox One. Now, if you have an Xbox One, you probably are used to playing with the controller.
Yeah.
But apparently, some people do want to use the keyboard and mouse for shooting games. So, you know, for games such as Fortnite, PUBG, keyboard and mouse work better.
Yep.
Although, you know, to what extent you can use these in online games, I'm not entirely sure about. And secondly, there are certain strategy games such as Halo Wars, which is also on Xbox.
Yeah.
So that definitely would work a lot better with the keyboard and mouse. So Xbox has already supported this, but I'm not sure what a Razer keyboard and mouse would add to this.
So I think Razer has already teased this back in November on their Facebook page that they will be launching a keyboard and mouse for the Xbox One. And they apparently, according to the post at least, says that it's like an exclusive partnership they've got with Xbox for this. So this will be like the first third party, you know, official peripheral to work with the Xbox One.
Okay, so that's, you know, good to hear. So yeah. Is there any other rumor or leak that you guys want to highlight? Anything you are personally looking forward to at CES 2019?
Well, one thing I want to shout out to is the entire startup ecosystem, because we can talk about all these companies that we know and the leaks that come through established channels that we are familiar with, but there's always going to be a whole bunch of startups over there, and even like university departments coming and showing off their students' work. And it's going to be everything from robotics to, you know, assistive devices for people with various disabilities. There's going to be IoT stuff. There's going to be smart home stuff, health, wearables, automotive, just maybe even brand new emerging categories. And there's always somebody with, you know, it might be ridiculous. It might be incredibly specific. It might be something that you just say there's absolutely no need for this in any rational person's life, and why does that need to be connected to the internet or whatever. But there's people out there doing all this stuff, and they're there to show off their ideas and their hard work, which is completely done independently, and just to see what products catch on, what ideas stick. And if you have the time, which unfortunately we don't always, there is a whole lot to be seen over there.
Right in.
Well, I mean, it's hard to again say pinpoint one particular thing, but at least from what we know, well, not certainty, but I think I'm really excited to see the new laptops with the new hardware. I think that will really again push the level of what we expect from gaming laptops, especially with the new RTX cards, with the whole ray tracing and stuff like that. So that is definitely going to be very exciting. Also to see how these manufacturers implement these new, more powerful cards, you know, in that same slim form factor. So that'll be very interesting to see how they pull that off.
Okay. So I think personally, I would like to see like what the Indian companies are up to at CES. Last year, I think there were some 10 or 12 Indian companies only, not too many of them. But whoever goes there is usually an Indian startup with a bit of an eye on the US market. So there's one startup that I'm aware of, which is called Emotix. They make these robots for kids. So their robot is called the Miko 2, which they launched a couple months ago. So they are looking at themselves as an Indian company with a global audience. Mm-hmm. So their smart robot is basically a companion robot for children, which can sort of answer, like which can help them take whatever revisions for their exams, dance, sing lullabies or whatever. It's targeted at a wide age group basically for children. So they are going to be at CES you know, in one of these places, I forgot where exactly it is. But yeah, that's the one company that, you know, has been making some interesting strides in the robotic space. That's founded
Let's not forget, I mean, last year we also had the Bengaluru startup, the 3D printer, Ethereal Machines.
Yeah.
Which, and they even won the CES Innovation Award, which was really cool.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And I might as well chime in with another Bangalore-based Indian robotics startup called Invento Robotics, which will be showing off a humanoid robot called Mitra 3 at this year's CES. And it's designed to be some kind of an assistant in corporate office environments, helping customers to go to this specific counter or that specific person. So, of these little companies are just trying to, you know, get a wider audience, to get investment, to get an idea of how successful they might be.
Yeah, so a lot of interesting things will happen at CES. Particularly the Indian angle is something we'd be trying to bring to you. I would say that gadgets.ndtv.com/CES once again is the place to be if you're interested in this event. And we'll be bringing in more coverage probably next week on Orbital again. Depends on whether, you know, Royden and Jamshed can spare a couple of minutes and appear on the podcast. Usually if you have to record this, then it's probably like 3 a.m. in Vegas.
Yep.
And, you know, everyone is like dead tired and exhausted. At least that's how we had recorded last year's episode on CES 2018. Okay, then that's all we have for this episode of Orbital. We'll be back with one more next week. As always, please follow us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram at Gadgets360. And if you have any questions, comments, or feedback, do write to us at podcast@gadgets360.com. If you use any apps such as Apple Podcasts on your iPhone or Google Podcasts on your Android phone, please rate our show, please review it, and please subscribe to it. These things, they help us a lot. Thank you so much for listening.